But for today, we've decided that what we did without Paul I being here is we thought that it would be great to be here for some global workers around the world who we don't support. One individual for sure that the congregation's aware of. And what I've done is I've asked them to share on a theme, and the theme is something new. We're going to start off with Lynn and Paul Coles. It'll be Lynn speaking. They have moved from Africa to Slovakia. You'll hear a little bit about her story, and she's going to talk about new obedience. And then you'll get a chance to hear from Kelly Scholes, Kelly and Angela Scholes, who Ainsley and I were with just the beginning of this year, and they're ministering in Ho Chi Minh City, and they're going to talk about new ways living in a communist country. How do you get the gospel out, new ways of doing things? And lastly, Darren McCrae, Darren and Patty, pastor, a minister in Colombia, a very dangerous part of our world, and there's risks on an ongoing basis. They're going to talk about the risks that we need to constantly be taking in order for us to fulfill the gospel. And so I'll cap it off at the end, but we are going to now hear our message through these three video sermons, so enjoy.
Well, good morning from Nitra, Slovakia. On behalf of Paul and Lynn Coles, I am Lynn Coles. After months of planning and delayed COVID departures, we were packed and standing at the counter at Pearson International Airport at 3 p.m. on September 16th this year, ready to board our last two flights to get to our new assignment here in Slovakia, when the attendant suddenly said, oh, just wait a minute. Austria just closed its borders. You can't go there. What do you want to do? And it all boiled down to, will we keep trying to move forward and head for anywhere in Europe before the second wave of the lockdown hit, or just go back home and have supper with Juniper, our granddaughter, in case you wanted to know? I had a moment. And then I realized that now was the time to keep pressing on. And in 40 minutes, we had rebooked tickets to Frankfurt, Germany. And in 10 hours, we were met by global workers we had never met before, who hosted us for 4 days. And then, because it became impossible to fly to Bratislava from there, they drove us to Germany, and from Germany rather. And God just began to confirm that saying yes to pressing on was the right thing. Saying yes in new ways. Well, everything is new in my life right now. Everything. In fact, my heart searches for places that are familiar just to rest for a moment. And honestly, the only place that is familiar right now is scripture and prayer. And I'm so grateful for those two places and God himself. And I would have to add Zoom calls with my kids' help. But nothing else is old. And about 2 years ago, we just began to know that our time at Pan Africa Christian University was coming to an end. And Paul had been the head of the institution for 10 years in its early days. He had held many senior positions, but all of the senior positions are now nationalized. The school is doing well. It's at 3,000 students with 18 and more degree programs. And although they like him and love him, they don't need him as much. And he just longed to fly in his primary gifting again. And here he is at 70. Wanting to do something more, knowing he had more to give. And so we talked to Kurt Kaufelt, the global ed director, and asked if there was any other positions in theological education that he would consider us for. And he mentioned seven. Five of them were in Africa, which we had expected. And then one was in Asia and one was in Europe. And I kind of skimmed through the Europe and the Asia one and really dug down and looked at the ones in Africa, because of course I was born here. Seemed more like it fit our years of experience. But Paul sort of skimmed over the African ones and dug down on this Slovakia one. And I had to look it up on a map. Well, wouldn't you have to? And so next thing I know, we're on our way to Slovakia to check it out. And that's where it all began. Last October, our hearts turned a corner. And I saw Paul start to come alive again in ministry ways that I hadn't seen before and get excited about the ministry field that is in this part, the mission field on this part of the world. So what have we had to say yes to so far? New ways that we've had to say yes. Well, we've had to say yes to leaving Africa. Yeah, you have to leave the old if you want to say yes to the new. And so it's obvious, of course, that we had to say leave Africa to get to Slovakia. We had to leave our positions of influence and authority that we had got over 24 years of being there. Paul was the deputy vice chancellor of the university. I was an associate pastor at our church and enjoyed preaching and teaching there and being on advisory committees. And we had to say yes to becoming beginners again. We had to leave the depth of relationships that come from being somewhere for a long time. And you know, significant ministry comes out of significant relationships. People were shocked. Actually, they were hurt that we were leaving, and people literally fell on the floor and cried. It was quite overwhelming, and some were just dumbfounded. You're 70. How come you're not just retiring? And you mean you're going to do something new? You mean you're leaving us to go somewhere new? Some were challenged and inspired and vowed to become missionaries themselves. We were leaving our church. We were leaving our home. We had to say yes to leaving the warm climate and the sunshine of Africa. We had to leave the warm smiles of Africans and the culture where almost everyone at least believes in God and goes to church. And as well as leaving, we had to say new to say yes to embracing the new. The new, endless legal work to become residents in a new continent and a new country. And it's daunting to say the least, especially during COVID. It took months to gather all the documents the foreign police needed here. And then there was the uncertainty, even on the day, the person who had arranged all this for us said, we don't know. They could say yes, they could say no. So we had to say yes to leaving our future in human hands as well. Embracing a very different mission field in Europe, where Slovakia is a post-communist, post-Christian, nominally Catholic place where only 5,000 people belong to the apostolic church that we're connected with. And actually in Kenya, many of the churches we were connected with already had 5,000 just in one church. So very different. We're embracing learning Slovak, a totally new language with sounds our mouths don't even seem to be able to make and that our older ears are having a hard time even hearing. And meanwhile, we're doing everything through a translator. I want you to fasten that in your minds. We've had to take translators to new doctors. And I've discovered that this was way too much information in a continent that doesn't believe in hospital gowns. Oh my goodness, that was way too much for me. And I'm just so glad that we found an English doctor, a person who speaks English as a doctor that we can go to and not have to take a translator with. Imagine just taking someone to open a bank account. And this person now knows more than my kids do about me. Having to embrace this total vulnerability, feeling like a deer caught in the headlights where everyone can see you and you don't know, and they know what you're saying, but you don't know what they're saying or what their context is at all for what they're seeing. Grocery shopping, label reading has become a whole new exhausting experience and makes for strange Google translations. Even getting into the grocery store, there's a word on the door that says SEM or TAM. And I'm thinking, is that push or pull? And then I put Google Translate and it says here or there. And I realized here means pull and there means push. And don't even get me started about the landlord Google Translation conversations that we're having where I said, please come over. The bathtub isn't working well and the TV's not working. And they wrote back and said, we'll be over with the mechanic to see you in the bath and to watch TV. I was like, oh, it just feels so vulnerable, feeling like a child, trying to find a new place to live in a town you don't know yet, trying to buy a new to us car. And we got the same brand and model as the one we'd had in Kenya, thinking that would be familiar. But then the steering wheel's on the opposite side, a new culture, a new climate. I haven't had a winter for 12 years. And I'm doing okay with the cold, but it's the darkness. And the new cuisine, which we haven't really felt the impact of yet. And because of COVID, we haven't been out eating much with people. Colleagues, new expectations of people our age. having to do our own housework has been a new to us obedience moment. And I know, don't roll your eyes, but in Kenya and in Africa in general, everyone has maid. Because you offer someone a livelihood, you bless them by giving them a job. And I miss Alice, the lady who worked in our home for 18 hours a week. I miss her. Then you put COVID on all of that and the restrictions that are limiting us meeting up with new people. Although we met the staff and students of the college once at the beginning of our time, lockdown happened, and we've only really had ongoing conversations with 5 people in our lives. So we've been alone. So yes to being alone in our home right now. And so what lies ahead? New ways to say yes also involve seeing the big potential in small places. We left this big college for a small one, but we believe that God has great things here. We have had to learn to trust and let go. And here's an interesting thing I had to do the other day. We are teaching on Zoom, and our students whom we're trying to have relationships with and get to know, they're on mute. We don't even know if they're laughing at our jokes. And I had to do PowerPoint with Slovak on it. And I'm thinking, am I on the right slide? It's a new dynamic for me, and trying to build relationships this way. And so the Lord, I feel, has asked me to get the names of all of our students and begin to pray for them, that relationship can begin now as I invest time in praying for each one that I will eventually meet. And when I do, I will care deeply about them. How to be a role model to women in ministry yet? It seems impossible with all the restrictions. But here's what I do know, that obedience itself is not new. It is as ancient and uncomplicated, but profoundly radical as ever. I hear from God, whom I love and want to please, that this is the direction, and I just say yes to whatever it takes to going in that direction. And this deep sense of responsibility gives me clarity that someone is waiting for me on the other side of my obedience and Paul's obedience. We dare not give up and head for comfort and familiarity right now. As we get one step at a time right, we will become usable by the Lord of the harvest. And that's what it's all about.
Hey everyone, my name is Kelly.
And I'm Angela.
And we are POC Global Workers serving in Southeast Asia. And we're here this morning to talk to you about new strategies. And part of why we want to talk about that is because what we're doing here in this country is serving and partnering with the local church, finding new and creative and strategic ways to help them reach out to evangelize their nation and their people.
And in our country, the local church has had to been very strategic about how they reach people. Because we are in a communist country, they're unable to go about church planting and evangelism the traditional way that you may think about it. And so our local partners have had to become very creative and strategic in order to reach the people in their community and in our country.
So with our local partners, we've identified 2 strategic areas that we've labeled as priorities for us to be able to focus on maximizing what the church is doing here in this region, in this country. And so the first of those areas is working with young adults and youth primarily. And the city that we are working in is home to more than 12 million people, if you can believe that. And it's people from all walks of life, from all over the country. And so it's strategic because people are flooding into the city every day to look for work, to look for education, and just to make their lives better and improve the lives of their families. And so one of the things is why we've set up here and working with the local church partners that we do is because we don't need to go out to all the different areas of the country, that they are coming to us. And so we are finding these people who are transitioning at a point of transition in their lives, and trying to make connecting points with them, and so that we can share the gospel with them, build relationships with them, and bring them into Christian communities and Christian a living. And so one of the ways that we've been doing that is through hosting English classes and English clubs weekly on multiple bases all throughout different parts of the city. And so through that, we get different connecting points with people who want to have a relationship, with people who are interested in questions of maybe a deeper meaning and deeper ideas that lead to conversations of spirituality and faith, and through bringing alongside our local workers, some of our local leaders, we then get to share the gospel with them right away, because they're in a point of searching in their lives, and so we've identified that as a strategic way of, hey, why do we need to go out and travel all over these places where they are coming to us, and so we can find them when they are coming. And just to hit on another point, one of the really cool opportunities that we have is the government in our country has been kind of collecting all the universities in the city that we live in, and they are building a massive university campus just a few kilometers away from where we live. And so in that place, it's already home to over 100,000 students, soon to be more than 400,000 students, if you can believe it or not. And so some of our local partners are really eyeing that as a place where just a tremendous potential for impacting the young, and especially the young professional demographic of this country, who can then take the gospel when they encounter Jesus and then bring that back to their families.
And strategic priority number two is children and families. And so here in our country, while religion may not be very important or an important part of most people's lives at all, education is incredibly important to the parents here. And so the church has used that idea and offers English classes for children, as well as other clubs that the children can attend. And so this is how they primarily reach out to children. They do VBS activities, as well as just work in an English medium, so that the parents feel good about sending their kids to an English program. But also, we know that they're learning morals and other good values from the church. This also gives the church an opportunity to build relationships with the parents of the kids. So not only are the kids learning about Christian morals and even about God and who He is and what He's done for them, but the pastor and the other leaders have the opportunity to be able to talk to the parents, let them know what the church is really about and why the church exists and why the church offers these free programs. Because honestly, there's not very many free English programs here. There's not very many places that would do this kind of things for free. And so for parents, that's just incredible. And it's a great opportunity for the church to be able to get involved in the lives of the families in their community.
So we've been talking about new strategies, and I think for me at least, that can seem like a bit of a daunting task. Like maybe I'm not the most strategic person, or I don't feel like I'm very creative. And so how can I respond to what God is asking me to do by being strategic or by being creative in order to fulfill that, or to meet a need that I see in my life or in those lives of the people around me? And so I just think that's a bit scary, and I can be left in a position where it's like, oh, am I really fit to be able to be the one to do that? And I think one of the things that we've just really appreciated of being here and with the partners that we have is that being strategic is just about trying new things and not giving up and looking for ways where you think that you see you can make a difference. And so it doesn't have to be this big, bold plan, but it can just be starting small. It can just be doing the little things like, hey, here's a need that I see that no one else around me is meeting. What can I do just to step in and fill the gap for that person or that family that's in need, or in the case here, like I have a skill that I can offer. Like I don't mind sitting with someone in a coffee shop for hours on end just to let them practice their English with me, and I might not be the best English teacher, but I can help them just by being a good friend and sitting there and listening and just building a relationship, and through that, just with intentionality, showing the love of Christ to that person. And so I don't think being new and strategic is always this big thing that we always have to be so calculated about, but it's just never giving up. It's always just continuing to be faithful with what God has given us. And so if God gives you an opportunity to respond in the moment, I want to be ready to say, yes, okay, I can chip in, I can do that. And so one of the verses that just really has stuck out to me as we've been talking about new strategies is from Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. It says, "So let us not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up." And what I love about that is that we don't give up. We don't tire of what is due, of doing good. And so being strategic doesn't mean that we have to do all these things that are so far outside of who we are. It's just how do we continue going down, doing the things that God has already gifted us with and the opportunities that He's placed in our lives. So if we see a need, how can we meet that need in our lives? And so what I love about what we get to do here today is that we don't just get to do that ourselves, but we are working with many young leaders, and we get to excite that dream in their lives. We get to help them be strategic and creative and responsive to the call of God in their lives. And so we hope and we pray that our ministry is a multiplier effect, that as we see this young generation of new leaders in this country be discipled and raised up, that they then go out to absolutely change this country for Christ. And so we believe that is a strategic vision that God has given us, our family, for serving here in this country. And we hope and we pray that God is speaking to you this wherever you are at, that you can just be that faithful, that you never get tired of doing what is good, and that you remain faithful and don't give up, because one day you will reap a harvest of blessing if you don't give up. And so that's my hope and my prayer for you wherever you're at. So God bless you.
God bless you. Have a great week.
Hello, CPC. Greetings from our home in Bogota, Colombia. My name is Darren McCray, and together with my wife, Patty, and our boys, James and Darian, we're missionaries serving in this great city, but also in dozens of towns and villages around the country. I'm originally from London, Ontario, and my wife, Patty, was born here in Bogota. Our boys, James and Darian, are 18 and 14, and just recently we transitioned James to Canada, where he's beginning his studies to become a commercial pilot at the University of Waterloo. Patty and I have served in missions for the last 25 years. That work's included missionary training, working with street kids, and raising up large community medical outreaches with hundreds of volunteers from the local church. We've also been really overjoyed to work with dozens of outreach teams from around the world that have allowed us to do everything from mass evangelism in schools to construction projects, children's ministry, and leadership conferences of all kinds. When Pastor Jeff mentioned that the theme for this year's missions conference was something new, I thought, what a great idea. See, in ministry, we're always looking for something new. We're looking for a new project, a new evangelistic strategy, a new challenge. And for us, well, maybe new ways to convince, beg, or even twist people's arms to come down to Columbia and join us for outreach teams. And then Pastor Jeff asked me to share on the subject of taking new risks. And I thought, bingo, that's a subject I know something about. You see, when I first came to Columbia 25 years ago, it was a very different place than it is now. Those were the days of mass guerrilla warfare, violent drug cartels, paramilitary forces, bombings, kidnappings, and those kidnappings especially were of foreigners. So before I even came to Columbia, I literally needed to make peace with Jesus. It wasn't my first risk, certainly was the biggest, at least that's the way I felt at the time. I guess you could say that the first risk I took, the one that we all take when God speaks, is actually stepping out in obedience. Many people never take that first small step, and as a consequence, they never see God move in their lives the way He wants to move. In Psalm 119, verse 105, the Bible says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Well, that light that Scripture talks about is not a 10,000 candle power flashlight. It's an old oil lamp that only illuminates the next couple of steps. And if we never take those steps, then we'll never see the next thing or the next level of growth that God has for us. Or to put it in other words, if you never take a risk, you're going to get stuck on your path and you'll never see the fullness of God's will for your life. Now, talking about Columbia, it's a very different place today. There's peace in most of the country, and the theme for the Colombian Board of Tourism is Colombia. The only danger is wanting to stay. Yeah, and there's still hot spots of violence in the country, mostly in the rural areas, but most of the country has been transformed. And we're also experiencing a harvest I never thought I would see. In the last 35 years, Colombia has gone from less than 1% of the population being Christian to more than 30% being evangelical believers. We're in total harvest mode. We're doing our best to make sure that not one soul of this bumper crop gets left in the field. Now, you might think, well, Darren, if all you're saying is true, then it sounds like you're not doing much risk taking anymore. Well, maybe in some ways. There's certainly not the violence that there used to be. But in ministry and missions and in general everyday life, if you're listening to God's voice, then you're going to find yourself taking new risks. Why is that? Well, I think God wants us to constantly take new risks, and that there's two reasons. See, in God's word in 1 Corinthians verse 1, verses 26 and 27, it says the following. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential, and not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. And then later on in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, Paul writes, But he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest upon me. And the one reason that God wants us to take new risks is so that we can grow in our faith and see his power rest upon us. So we can actually see his power on us, not just as something that's an external thing. He wants us to see that our actions can change things and that the results do not depend upon our qualifications. Second reason, I think he wants his glory to shine through us, to do things that we never thought possible. And while we marvel that God can use us in our weakest areas, those so-called strong ones in society around us, the ones that aren't doing a whole lot, well, they're shamed for their lack of action in facing the world's problems. For me personally, taking new risks has meant different things. One of those times was sharing my testimony for the first time. I was 17 years old, recently converted street kid, was not wanting to share my emotions with anybody or in any way. And God challenged me to share my story in front of dozens of people one night at the street mission that I got saved at and later worked with. Next challenge for me was when God spoke to me about organizing a Christmas dinner for the city's homeless for a 17-year-old street kid, and yet God was challenging me already to reach out to my community. Later on, I was going on a short-term missions trip for the first time. It was that first trip that God used to lead me into my calling. Another new risk, asking Patty, will you marry me? There's been a lot of things. But after 25 years of missions, life, and parenthood, what are our new risks? Well, serving in a pandemic, serving in spite of a pandemic, is a big one. We've gone from mass outreaches to sitting in our home offices running feeding programs with dozens of families that are depending on us. We've had to learn to run our projects remotely, and we've just left our oldest child in Canada after an unexpectedly long stay in our home nation because we couldn't get a flight back to Colombia until recently. And right now, God is speaking to us about growing his church, literally, beyond our outreaches in schools, besides coming alongside children's homes and ministry. He's speaking to us about church planning, about buying land, about building, expanding churches, and being even more intentional about leadership training. In other words, when everyone, including us, has been focused on just keeping their heads above water, God has been challenging us to grow, to expand, and to dream bigger. It's scary. So how do you grow and expand and dream bigger? Again, one step at a time. We don't know exactly how we're going to do everything God has called us to do, but we do know that it involves a lot of prayer. It involves sharing vision. It involves stepping out in faith wherever we are able, just taking one step at a time. Just a few weeks ago, God challenged us to start following that path, to dream bigger. And we've been dreaming about building a Sunday school, putting on an entire second floor on a little one-room church in Buena Vista, Colombia, looking at doing it for a lot of months. And then in July, God spoke to us about starting to build the church. Well, we didn't have any money. And then one day, a gentleman sent us $150. He said, "Darren, I just have this extra money that God has sent along. I feel I'm supposed to give it to you." And the second that he said that, the word came to mind, seed. And so we felt that God was telling us to put that money aside for the Buena Vista Church, for their Sunday school. And you might think $150 for an $18,000 project is kind of, you know, spitting in the wind, but God said to do it, and we did. Well, within 30 days, we had $3,000 come in. And then 30 days later, we were up to $12,000. And then 2 weeks later, God sent the rest of the funds. The testimony is a lot longer, but in a very short amount of time, in a trying time, we've gone from zero to now that the kids in Buena Vista will have a Sunday school by Christmas. And the church itself has proof that even in a pandemic, God is a God of miracles. Sounds like big stuff, doesn't it? Actually, it's pretty simple. See, I want to share with you a secret, something that I've learned in serving in missions for 25 years and over 36 years of being a Christian. I want to share a secret, a concept that could radically change your Christian life if you put it into perspective and put it into practice. Are you ready? The biggest risk that you can take as a Christian is the new one. The biggest risk that you can take as a Christian is the new one. The risk that God is asking of you today. It doesn't matter if it's a big risk. It doesn't matter if it's a small risk. Whatever he is asking you of you today is the biggest risk. It's not tomorrow's risk. It's not next year's risk. It's the one he's asking of you today. It doesn't matter how big or small it is, only that you take it so that you can move on to the next one. Operating in your weakness so that God can shine through is by nature a risk, and it is a new risk every time. Because if God is asking you to do something new, odds are that it's always going to be just a little bit bigger than what he asked you to do the last time. God always wants us to grow in our faith, and he always wants his glory to shine through us. There is no better way for that to happen than to dare to go bigger, deeper, farther, and newer. We're all living something new this year. Yeah, for us, we have our projects, feeding programs, and several other things. And yes, we're dealing with sending off our son to university. But for the first time, all of us are learning to live with a world turned upside down by the pandemic. We're learning to deal with new fears. Simple activities are no longer simple, and in some cases, not even possible. Yet in all of that, God is asking us to be salt and light and hope. He is asking us to be friends and family to those that are lonely and hopeless. He is calling us to be different so that those who only have a facade of strength will ask us how it is that we are different, how it is that we have hope. And that is my challenge to you. To step out in faith, especially in your weakness, in whatever God is asking you to step to do. Start down the path and you will be amazed where God takes you. You'll be amazed how he uses you, and you will be amazed at who he uses you to impact. Take a new risk, do a new thing, and live a new future. God bless you from the McCray family in Bogota, Colombia. Hasta la vista, baby.
So many things in what was just shared. I want to read you a quick verse. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 16 says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." In August, I celebrated a birthday. I may have shared this, so would you just indulge me if I've already shared this? But I shared a birthday, and this one day, I was just reflecting. I'd been talking with the staff about how many years left I had in ministry. In my mind, still have quite a few, but in my mind, it seemed so short. And I just said to them, I said, I just want to make sure I use every day wisely. I want to give the best. I want, when I'm done, I want to make sure I've spent my life. And so I kind of was thinking about it and praying about it after that conversation. And one day I came before God and I just said, God, what do you want me to do? What kind of things do you want me to be engaged in? What are some of the projects here at CPC? Like, God, what do I need to do to just give my all? How can I make the best impact with my life before my life is ever done? And God responded very quickly and he said this. He said, every day, simply ask me what I want you to do and just do it. And if you'll obey me on a daily basis with the things I'm asking of you, you'll have used your life well. And friends, we just heard of the Coles, Lynn and Paul moving from Africa to Slovakia, 70 years old. Many people would be retired at that age, and they said yes to what God was speaking for their life for that day. Then we hear the Scholes, who are in a country where it's so impossible to share the gospel in a way that we could hear. I just got some pictures from the pastor of the church that they are part of just on Friday of baptisms that they've had. And the Scholes are making an impact through the relationships they're building, not because they're doing brilliant and crazy things, even though they're pretty sharp, but because they're saying yes to what God is asking them to do in new ways. And then you hear the great things that are happening through Patty and Darren in Colombia, taking risks on a regular basis. And I love what he said, the biggest risk is the new one, the one that's right before you, saying yes to right now. And we pray for our global workers who are doing these things, new obedience and new things and who are taking new risks. But friends, the truth is that every one of us is called to be a missionary. Every single one of us is called to use the time effectively. And my prayer would be as we end this Sunday that you would say yes to whatever Jesus is saying to you today. That you would be obedient to the now voice of God. Because every single one of us, there's something that he's asking us to do, something new, something of new obedience, something of new ways, and something of new risk, so that we can have an impact on the world. Jesus, thank you so much for the opportunity to hear from our global workers. We pray for Lynn and Paul. We ask that you would use them effectively in Slovakia. I thank you for Paul or for Kelly and Angela, God. I pray that you would give them such success in the school systems with this new university and the church that they're working with. Help them to come up with new ways. And bless them, I pray. And Lord, I thank you for Darren and Patty. I pray you'd continue to protect them, not just physically, but their hearts too, God. Having a son back here and being in a different country, would you protect them and bless them in all that they do as they take risks every day? And as we leave today, being inspired by what our global workers are doing, being inspired to pray for them and perhaps give towards what they are doing, God, I'm asking that you would help us to reflect on what you're asking of us for today. That we would not be unwise, but we would be wise. That we would make the most use of the time at hand. And we would live our lives expending all of ourselves by simply saying, what are you asking for us today? And there would be new obedience, and there would be new ways of doing things, and there would be new risks that would reveal your glory in our lives. So use us today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.